I'm definitely the old guy here. All right, John chapter 11. I wonder how old Lazarus was.
20. They died so young back then.
Well, he was sick. No, it doesn't.
Wasn't there or whatever.
You know, it's really interesting. I was thinking about that, actually. Like, you think about these guys, you know, him and his two sisters, like, you think, like, they're a good family. Like, they're a very spiritually interested family. But it's like, is anybody married? Are they, you know, where are their parents? Where are they? But, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, actually, just today. I was like, I wonder if, like, it's just siblings. They're just talking about them as, you know. So, all right. Well, guys, we're going to pick it up just for context purposes. John 11:47 all the way through 12:8. So it might take a little. I'll tell you what. Let's just remember from 47 up through 53. You guys remember the council? Yeah, there was a council that they called to try to decide what they're going to do with the aftermath of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And so in that council, you have Caiaphas who says, hey, let's put him to death. That would just make sense. One person to die on behalf of the nation, because that way we can keep our place in our nation. And then in verse 53, so from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Michael, you want to pick it up in 54, and we'll go until we get through John 12:8.
Therefore, Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples.
Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves.
So they were seeking for Jesus, and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple.
You want to finish that?
But do you think that he would not come to the feast at all?
Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it so that he might seize him.
Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, Lazarus was, whom Jesus raised from the dead.
It's the loudest I ever heard you read. It's difficult to understand, but all right. Okay, let's. Lorenzo, if you want to get verse 2.
All right, I get 2. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him.
Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil.
Go ahead, Mia.
For one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who had betrayed him, said,
why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?
Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it.
Therefore, Jesus said, let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial.
For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. So, in a second here, I want you guys to give me the thoughts that jumped out at you first. I will say, girls, I can tell you're a part of my family. I used to get in trouble at Bible studies for that. My brother Matt and I, we couldn't quit laughing when we were supposed to. And then I'd go to get spanked sometimes and I'd start laughing. That did not go well. So, anyways. But glad you got it under control now. So, okay. Well, what'd you guys think about first glance reading through this? Any interesting points of notice?
Motives will be shown.
Motives will be found out. old Judas got some motives there, not quite the way he's selling it, is he? Very good. We'll talk on that a little for sure.
When Jesus went away, then he came back to have Passover with him. Lazarus, Mary, Martha. Where Martha is serving again, and Mary's anointing him.
You see personalities for sure, don't you? Like this is definitely. Exactly. It's just interesting, you know. And I know the one. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit too, pray. But you know, I know the one time Jesus kind of, you know, gets on Martha for. I mean, personally, what you're doing, but Mary's chosen the good thing, you know. But you do need people who are willing to serve, too. But it is really, it's just people's personalities come out. I like that in the scriptures. Lorenzo, what are you thinking?
I was just saying it's interesting how Jesus started to try to keep away from the public. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it is good to draw back if it's for the betterment.
Very good point. We'll talk about that a little.
Yeah, because didn't he leave and he waited a while before he came back?
Yeah.
So obviously they were still trying to go after that. The one thing that stood out, and they mentioned Judas. I mean, obviously that came out as well too. I was like, wow, that he's Simon's son. I've read that before. Not that that's significant, but
yeah, I New American Standard doesn't have that information. I think King James, New King James, because they use a little different set of manuscripts.
Okay.
So yeah, that's interesting.
Judas Iscariot, Simon's son.
Yeah.
He specifies who.
Yeah, who his dad was. Anything else? Man, this is the least invisible Mrs. City has ever been to me, and I keep thinking she wants to say something, but I don't think you really do, do you? Exactly. Well, people, you get, the story plays out exactly. I mean, the circumstances might be slightly different, but you see people's hearts revealed, and you always have the same type of people. I mean, our hearts get exposed. Christ exposes our hearts, every one of us. And so, yeah, very good point. So you were. I read that right. I'm proud of myself. Anything else? It's fun to think. I think it's fun, guys, to sometimes, you know, read stuff through and then say, yeah, you know, I want you to get in the habit of when you read the Bible, like pausing and thinking about interesting things, because there's a lot of interesting things that can get by you. Sometimes you just fly through it. So we will talk about all this stuff. Lorenzo.
I just think it's interesting how much money that they put into anointing Jesus to speak, mm-hmm. as opposed to giving to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
We're going to talk about how much money that was. That's a lot.
But she had just seen. I mean, her brother just got raised from the dead, so she was pretty happy.
Yeah,
good point.
I mean, she saved him. I mean, he was there.
This is a Thanksgiving. Like, mm-hmm. It's a celebration, Thanksgiving. So yeah, she's like you, and that's a really good point, because you know, when funerals. People don't spare money that much for. I mean, I want mine to be cheap. Burn. I'm going to ashes anyways. Just burn me as cheap as you can. Burn me in the backyard if you can get away with it. And, you know, I don't care. But people, when it comes to that, for funerals and stuff, people are willing to spend a lot of money for somebody that's dead. Well, hey, how about for somebody that was brought back to life? Like, we're thankful. That's a really good point, Leah. What else? Huh?
I had an idea, but it's
not. Okay, well, if you want to, some along the way, you can bring it up. So, all right.
He probably wasn't really that necessarily concerned about his burial, but he accepted it for her benefit.
Yeah.
Just rejecting it or agreeing or, you know, taking a side. I mean, well, he did take a side, but instead of delegating it somewhere else or being smart about it, he just rolled with it.
Yeah, that's a very good point too. I mean, did Jesus need that anointing for his burial? No, they are later when he dies. You're going to see they do bring a bunch of, you know, fragrant spices and that kind of stuff too. But he didn't need that. But he understood the heart in which he was doing this. And he accepted that willingly, joyfully. And that's a really good point too. You know, the scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But when people do give, you have to let them, I mean, if they're given with the right heart and right, like, you know, thank you. And Jesus took that really, really well. And he understood what it was for. It's to the Lord. So, good point, Raquel. All right, guys. Well, let's kind of dig in here. It just surprises me a little bit. I know we talked about it last time, but how cold-blooded people can be. You know, in this council, Caiaphas just, hey, let's just knock this guy off. I'll solve our problems. And everybody bought it. Hey. From that day on, they planned together to kill him. What?
Politics.
Yeah, exactly. And you, I mean, Billy said people are saying that stuff. That same stuff goes on all the time. I mean, I don't know if you ever looked at the Clinton body count. You don't want to be too close, you know. And it's not just the Clintons. I would just say, you know, I think you get in at that level, anybody, it's like you're in the way, we'll take you out. And so this is one example of people don't change. But what's interesting is, hey, who are these people that are doing this? These aren't the Roman politicians. These are the outwardly righteous. These are the guys who have set themselves up as, hey, follow us in order to be righteous. And behind closed doors, they're talking about how to kill somebody, how to kill the Son of God. I have a tendency, I think, sometimes to trust people's motives a little too much. Like, I think of, you know, a lot of false teachers and stuff. Well, they probably just don't know. You know, I think a lot of people in congregations don't know, but the false teachers, I think the majority of them, they know. They've seen what the scripture says. And it's not expedient for them. They've made the calculations. They want to keep their people. They want to keep their lifestyle. They want to keep their church that they've built, whatever it is. And they've just made a calculation. It's expedient. These are the outwardly righteous. But they don't care about what's really right. People don't change. It's a business. These guys are place. Mostly religious. I think Jeremy said he calls it the religious marketplace. That's what it is. It's a business. People don't change. But it is sad to me, you know, that's the case. You know, the network, these guys wasn't small. And the religious network today isn't small. You know, over 150 years since, I don't want to get into the history of this too much, but basically Judas Maccabeus, ever since they were able to run Antiochus Epiphany out of the, you know, get the temple back, they basically had this system set up where it was a political system along with the religious system that God had in place. You know, they'd done this to enforce their interpretation of the law and to secure their position there in conjunction with the Romans. You know, Jesus talks about these guys in Matthew 23 where he just basically rips these guys to pieces for being outwardly righteous. But one of the statements he says about these guys is they have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Anybody Hebrews 5 off the top of their head about Jesus being high priest? There's a little comparison about, let's just go there really quickly. Just a thought popped into my head here, but Hebrews 5 verses 4 and 5. Kelly, you want to read both those for me? Hebrews.
No one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
So he's talking about the whole priesthood, but nobody takes the honor to himself. God didn't have this set up that way, where you got to, oh yeah, this is what I am. But these guys have seated themselves in the law of Moses. Totally different than what God wanted from his religious rulers. He wanted all the time, across the whole way, he wanted people that would serve. He wanted people that would be humble. Okay? But, you know, basically these guys had their own version of the mafia in place. And so now they're, you know, they've put the word out there in their own way of, we're going to keep your eye out for this Jesus because we need him. Right? He's on the most wanted list and we're gonna get him. And so, what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus is smart. Like Lorenzo said, he heads out, doesn't walk publicly among the Jews, and goes away from there to the country near the wilderness. And I was thinking about this, the wisdom that Jesus had. You know, he did know, Lorenzo, like you said, Jesus knew when to back away from the public crowd. You know, I think there's one thing that amazes me about Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of things that amaze me about Jesus, but one thing is his people skills. And he's aware of the situation. He reads situations and he knows, you know, knows when to hold, knows when to fold. I don't know if he ever folded, but knows when to walk away. Not sure he ever ran either. But, you know, Jesus was smart. He saw the situation and he knew when, you know, he made those decisions accordingly. Guys, you know, there's some wisdom sometimes. You think about it just at a personal level. Let's say you're doing Bible studies with a group of people. Maybe you got three or four people there. And you figure out some of these guys are pretty quickly become opposition. The smart thing at that point in time is to figure out maybe the one that's got some legitimate serious interest. Hey, break them off and get a little private study going with them. It's just smart to, like, sometimes to back away from the public opposition. And people are incredibly subject to peer pressure, even though they shouldn't be. It's a reality. So just reading and understanding and recognizing the situation. There are times that, you know, I personally make posts every day. Two posts every day on Facebook. Monday through Friday. One on my Targeting Truth page and one on my own. But you know what I don't do? I don't get on there and rail against the homosexuals. And I just choose not to do that because I never see that kind of discussion in a public forum like that. I don't see anything positive ever come from it. I'm not telling everybody else what to do or what not to do. I'm just saying for me, I've never found it to be meaningful or helpful. So I'm going to stay away from that stuff in the public. If I can sit down and talk with you about homosexuality and why it's wrong and why it's a sin, I'm going to do that. But I'm not going to take some politically charged thing and throw it out there and say, hey, let's watch the fireworks and see who I convict, when it doesn't seem to me, you know, that's my read on that. Like I said, not everybody has to have the same read. But you can see Jesus strategically, he knew when to step back out of the public eye and so that he could get done the things that actually he needed to get done. I think Jesus also was very aware of the timing of things. You know, he had an appointment to make, you know, at Passover in 30 AD. And, you know, this plan of God was working, and Jesus was working with it. So, you know, the Passover of the Jews, what's it say in verse 55? The Passover of the Jews was at hand. Okay, that means it was near, right? And many went up to Jerusalem in the country for the Passover to purify themselves. I don't know how much we want to go into that. It's actually interesting. When I was looking in the Old Testament, there's not a lot of purification rules about the Passover. In Numbers chapter 9, when it first talks about it, it's basically like, if you're unclean because of a dead person, make sure you're purified. But then, do you guys remember when Hezekiah reinstituted the Passover? And they actually had to do it a month late because to give everybody time to get there. But there was a lot of people that hadn't purified themselves. And so actually Hezekiah made a prayer that God would allow them. Like the priest, the reason they did it a month late is the priest had to have time to consecrate themselves. And then the people, even though they hadn't purified themselves in accordance with the custom, it looks like to me, because I don't think there's any way that all those people were unclean from a dead person. But they, you know, there was a scriptural base, and then I think also a custom that had come from the Jewish people had kind of developed off of that, that everybody went through a little purification ritual for this feast. So a lot of people are coming up early, okay, getting in there, making sure they're ready for Passover. You know, I don't think that's an accident either, guys. You guys know what happens at Passover. What's it say here? In chapter 12, verse 1, 6 days before the Passover. You guys remember what happens during Passover. Like, Jesus gets crucified. Okay, so, this is really strategically planned where Jesus is going to come. He's going to have this dinner that they prepare for him. Bunch of people are already in Jerusalem getting ready. See, the word about Lazarus' resurrections all of a sudden resurfaced. And Jesus is going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey here. And all the crowds are like, they're prepared for that. Like, God set this stage. You know, sometimes it's interesting. You read the Old Testament, you think, Leviticus and Israel. Guys, all of that stuff was actually carefully put in there so that when Jesus came, everything was set in motion for all these people to be there and to be aware of it. Pretty awesome God we serve, if you think about it. So if God can do that in a big picture scale through that Old Testament leading to Christ, somebody mentioned it recently, but was it you that he knows the hairs on our head? You know, hey, he knows it. God's working, guys, in every one of our lives. We want to make sure we're working with him. But, I mean, this is a great God. Really, really great God. And he has this plan. And the fullness of time, of course, was for Christ. So, let me ask you guys a question. Everybody's there? Verse 56? What? When a bunch of people are around a week early for an event, what are they going to be doing?
Get excited?
In a party, whatever version Jewish party was?
Socializing.
And when you're socializing, you start talking about, hey, what do you... And everybody, pretty soon, the topic comes to this Jesus. And they're asking in verse 56, you know what? You know, they're looking for him, and then they're wondering, hey, do you think he's even going to come at all? Because they know the word's out, right? The word's been, you know, it's been told, verse 57, if anybody knew where he was, they should report it. So they're all looking for him, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I don't want to trivialize Jesus to this level, but, you know, kind of the Robin Hood. I mean, I think the people in general, they like this guy. You know, he's on the outlaws list, but, you know, do you think he's going to even show up? Like, we're all supposed to be watching for him, but, you know.
Is that just anybody they were keeping an eye on, or was that the Jews or the leaders?
The picture I get, in that it's not 100% clear there, but, you know, I guess it does say anyone.
56,
yeah. If anyone knew. So I think it's like wanted posters. Like, hey, you guys keep your eye out for this guy. Let us know if he shows up. You know, and it's kind of cool, too, because the devil, when he's doing his bad stuff, God's always a step ahead of him. And I even think of this, like, I remember... Mark Miller tells, and he's a great storyteller, but they were watching this movie one time, their family, and there was one bad word in it. And, you know, their dad was there, and he was going to make sure, like, you know, that they paused it and then fast forwarded past that part, and, you know, so, you know, and then he mistimed it, and we restarted right at the, and he said, you know, Mark's like, everybody's there, and then, you know, what, and so the one thing you're trying to miss is the one thing you made sure, everybody caught, you know, and it has, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, and like, that's the like, hey, keep your eye out for this guy. We have to report him to us. Well, now everybody's interested in him. That's really a cool thing. I mean, God's always ahead of the devil. I like that. So, and by the way, guys, a freebie here. Controversy is not a bad thing. Like, for truth, you know, sometimes we can, I know that the natural fleshly side of me doesn't particularly like conflict and controversy. But I've been reviewing 1 Peter in scripture memorization. Man, we're supposed to suffer for the name of Christ. And through those things, through suffering for Christ, like, that's how other people actually become aware of Him. So controversy is not a bad thing. Like, if we get some more debates going with some guys around here, you know, that's a, like, yeah, get the excitement going, right? Jesus was a master at it. Strategic. He knew when to back off, and then he knew when to come in and just, boom, hit this thing. And he's coming in to hit it now. So I get excited about this. So they're all talking. And I was thinking one other thing, just as we're doers of the word, not just hearers. Shouldn't Jesus be the primary topic of conversation in our life? Everybody's talking about, they're seeking him, they're talking about him. Hey, where, what, like, I was actually a little disappointed with myself today. Like, there wasn't a clear opportunity, but there was a little opportunity, Lena and Talia, when we were there, that one lady that I started that conversation with, and I feel like I missed a little opportunity. I didn't talk to her about Jesus. I talked to her just briefly and told her, hey, I appreciate her friendliness, but it was like, hey, I should have said something about Jesus to her. She liked me. I mean, we were in it, you know. So that should be the primary topic of our conversation. Get those opportunities. Hey, what do you think about Jesus? Who is this guy? You know? And most people have an opinion about him. And still ask the same question. What are you thinking, Mikhail?
I don't know, just the thought when I was walking down back from town on my last trip, and it was just dark out, and I was walking down the sidewalk, and a guy would come back, and he was on his bike, and he stopped, looked at me, and I was like, oh, he's going to ask for money or something. And he said, do you know Jesus? And I said, yes, sir, I do. He's like, have a good night. We went our separate ways.
Yeah.
And just like,
yeah. Yeah, you know, it's a little, it's a little strange. Like, I mean, I think you want to have some people skills when you do it, but I think about all the different stuff that I've, you know, I worked at JCPenney's and stuff. I mean, I had a few people hit me on one thing or another, but I never really had somebody, once I got into a little conversation with him, actually bring up the conversation of Jesus to me. Not real, you know, not really. Not like we're going to follow up on it. And so I know sometimes when people, I shock them. You know, every once in a while, like, okay, my people skills weren't perfect because I can tell, like, I scared that person. But, you know, but you gotta practice it to get good at it. But sometimes, I can tell other times people are just like, even if they don't, a lot of them have never done anything with it, but they're like thankful that I cared enough to talk to them about something important. So I'm just like, don't ever be afraid to do that, guys. Jesus should be the topic of our conversation. And of course, we already hit this, but given orders, if anyone knew where he was, to report it, they might seize him. I just think neighborhood watch programs. They're great. You know, I think I mentioned this before, but I got some really nice neighbor ladies. But they know everything that goes on in our neighborhood. I mean, everything. And they like me right now, but if it ever comes time that I'm like, you know, that Christianity is enough of a look, that, like, they'll turn me in. Good, they'll be thinking they're doing everybody a favor. You know, they just are those kind of ladies. You know what I mean by that? So, hopefully I don't take out the house with my trays. All right, let's move on here to chapter 12. So, like I said, Jesus was a great strategist. And I think one of the things we should learn from Jesus, guys, we should plan. Like, we want to have, I think, sometimes, what do I say? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And I think one of the big problems of Christians is we don't take time in our life to make a clear spiritual plan. Like, what are our spiritual goals? You know what I mean by that? What are you thinking, Leah?
You're talking.
Huh? Okay.
Keeping an eye and stuff just remind me of something going on in our
place. Oh, okay. Okay.
So he's like, you see him.
It does, but you do. You have to have a plan, don't you? You know, if you don't have a plan, it doesn't work. And so I think oftentimes it's easy spiritually to kind of float along. You come to assembly, you do your Bible reading. Okay, Jared preached on prayer. I better pray this month. You know, gotta take the challenge. Okay, got that. But what goals do we have? Like, are we trying to talk to people? Are we looking for those opportunities? Are we, you know, we pray that the word spread rapidly, and then do we have some goals? Like, hey, talk to X number of people this week. Just start 5 conversations with somebody this week, and try to get 2 of them to get to the topic of Jesus, or you know, so. But where we actually plan, Jesus was a planner, and God wants us to. The plans of the diligent, Book of Proverbs talks about. Lorenzo.
You know, like you said, just plan on looking.
Yeah.
Because like today, there's like this. We listen to country radio at work.
Oh, sorry.
Gotta
hit the rewind on that. Get your house back, your car back, your dog back.
I know, and it's kind of actually slow too, so it's not really motivating. But then there is this song. It's talking about, that's what I love about Sundays. It's by Craig Morgan or whatever. But, and I was working with this guy, and then I was like, he's talking about church and Christians and stuff like that. I was like, this is a good opportunity for me to talk to this guy, because they're not comfortable with any of that kind of conversation. So I just started asking him, hey, you ever been to church? And kind of went off from there. But he got really uncomfortable real fast.
Yeah.
He avoided it.
But you had a plan to look. And actually, that is one thing I will say for country music. Sometimes, that, like, you know, every so many, there's spiritual song in there. Because that's a lot of their roots. I mean, really, I've had some of the best conversations in the gym when, you know, in there early on a Saturday morning and a country song was playing. It was about baptism. I was like, you know, I asked this guy, he's like, you know the words of this song? You ever listen to this song? He's like, I was just thinking about getting baptized. And then he talked to his pastor about me and would never meet with me after that. But anyway, you know, I love that kind of thing. But you got to be looking, don't you? Have a plan and then be looking. And so I just want to encourage us, I guess, guys. We want to be imitators of Jesus. Jesus was a planner. So make some spiritual goals in your life.
Kind of random off topic, but I started at a new store this past week or whatever. And there's this girl there that I always like listen to people's conversations, you know. I don't actually tune in and like actually join them.
Mm-hmm.
But she just started talking about religious stuff with these people, and the one person was in like extreme opposition to all of it, and then the other one just kind of like chimed in like, oh no. But it was just like, it's like a perfect opportunity because she like is really interested enough to bring up Jesus to somebody else.
Yeah.
She knows that they're definitely against it, and I was like, hey.
Yeah. That's actually another thing. Listen. Quick to hear. Like, that's where it starts, honestly. That's where you first show people you care, actually, is by, I mean, not necessarily eavesdropping always, but hey, I get the impression, I'm kind of being serious. I get the impression here, you know, Jesus had his ear on the train track, you know? Like, hey, he wanted to know what was coming. He was paying attention. And you look, and even sometimes asks us, hey, what are people saying about me? you know, give me some feedback here. What's going? Because he's figuring out the time. Who's interested? And he's so it's a great thing actually, Lorenzo.
I was thinking of how Jesus said he is faithful in little, be faithful in much, and a lot of times it'd be easy to think that at that last moment, like if we're ever in a government against us or whatever, you know, we would push through, or we would die for something like that. But if you're in a situation and you have this tickling to talk to somebody and you can't even push through that is something to grow, and you know, and that
definitely
look for opportunities, and then when you get to that pinnacle moment and you're like, this is where I can say something,
do it. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a great point. You know, I've known guys that wanted to be evangelists, and they were, okay, I gotta start talking to people. They go and they, you know, and that it is a start, but they never, which is great. Like, you do have to meet people. I know my natural strengths is like relating to somebody once I know them. But like to meet somebody new is not my natural strength. I had to work on that. Like, go meet people. But then you see, they meet people, they never take the conversation spiritual. Well, what good did it do? I actually remember this from my Amway tape I heard years and years ago. This guy's like, he's like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to just go. He was a UPS driver. He's like, I'm tired of working. I'm going to just go do this. So he's like, I'm standing outside some grocery store, you know, and I got to meet people. I'm like, Hi, I'm Steve. He's like, you know, he's like, after 3 days going, hi, I'm Steve. I'm like, you know what? I might as well start talking to him about what I'm here to talk to him about. And in my personal life, guys, like, seriously. Like, that stuff I've had to grow through. Like, you push yourself, and after a while, you push yourself this far. Why? So you can talk about real stuff. So do it. So, really good point.
Yeah, I think, you know, just, it is a little bit uncomfortable talking to people about it, because most people, even though they claim to be Christians, they don't even know what a Christian is.
No.
You know, talking to Will about this, and we saw, you know, ask people what a Christian is, and they're like, oh, somebody goes to church, and you ask them what a disciple is, and they're like, well, that's like a super Christian, you know, somebody who's really committed. And it was like, no, they're the same thing, you know. But most people don't really get what a Christian is, and so it can be a little uncomfortable when you start bringing that up to people.
It is.
It is hard to push through that.
Yeah.
You know? Especially when you set your own personal goals. I'm going to go meet somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is uncomfortable, because their version of that comfortable Christianity, it is comfortable, and they don't want somebody, you know, I mean, anyways, we all got stories on that, but yeah, we gotta push through, so. So they made him a supper. Martha was serving, I like that. Lazarus is one reclining at the table. But Jesus, they made Jesus a supper. He's the guest of honor, isn't he? And why wouldn't he be? Like, he raised their brother from the dead. Like, we want to thank you. And Martha's doing her part, serving, which is great. I mean, I'm thankful that when there's a meal, somebody made the meal. You know? And I was thinking, we don't, I think from other accounts, Matthew's and Mark's account, we know that this is at Simon the leper's house. So even though Martha's the one serving, you know, it was interesting in the Philippines, it was kind of this way. We were the guest of honor a lot. And they always, it was food oriented. Like, I mean, but, you know, maybe Sister Nita has it all lined up. But it's at Mama Mirna's house. You know, so like everybody's chipping in, but there's one person who kind of, and it's not necessarily at her house. It's a wherever, so, but, you know, but they care, and they care about Jesus, and there, you know, really is like a celebration here of this. And so, and then, you know, Mary loves Jesus, and she takes this, and guys, from Judas' estimate, if he's right, you know, this thing could have been sold for 300 denarii. That's like 11 months' wages. Let's say cheap, you know. Say $20,000. I mean, back to in today's. You want to take $20,000? You know, this was probably like their gold. You know, I mean, it was ounce for like, you know, how you can help people invest in different things. You know, some people invest in guns, right? I mean, because they're going to turn around and sell them again and get their money back. Or, you know, that's, I've heard this from the guys. That's how they, but justify it. But yeah, you know, some people boats, some people gold, some people whatever. You know, we're going to sell this and get our money back. But, you know, I don't know that. But this is, you know, it holds its value. But they, she just pours this out over Jesus. And here the emphasis is on his feet, right? We, again, if you look at the parallel passages, not the same as Luke 7. That's a different one. But Matthew's account, Mark's account is the same one. And his head and his, the emphasis here is his feet. Okay. But that's a lot. And then, you know, you made a good point, though. Why wouldn't you? And so then I think the natural question I have for myself is, what do I sacrifice for Jesus? He didn't just raise my brother from the... He raised us from the dead. Like, you can't give him too much, guys. And sometimes, you know, Mikkel, here's a great... I'm glad you brought this up, too, because you could look at this and you could say, what practical value? Like, couldn't that $20,000 by today's money have been used for something in Jesus' ministry even better than that? Sometimes people give to the Lord, but then they want to tell the Lord how to use it. You know what I mean by that? That's not the way... Obviously, you want people who are responsible, okay, in the distribution. But that's not... No, you give to the Lord. And yet the Lord use as He will. And sometimes you might think this is... What's trivial to you is actually a really big thing. Here, this was preparing Jesus for His burial. And it's a means by which the gospel... You know, when the gospel being proclaimed, this story is being told. It's actually a cool thing that it's kind of like gives legs to the gospel. Here, this story, yes.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight, this story of the Lord is like a piece in the puzzle. Like, now we know it's for His burial, but she didn't know He's
going to
burial.
No.
She was just, that's just proof that, you know, as Ty did before, they wholeheartedly thought He was the Son of God.
Yep.
And they were very thankful. They
yep.
were just honoring Him.
So it is neat, I think, when you slow down this stuff, you just think about it in your life. You know, hey, how are we doing this? What am I willing to? You know, and everybody there, you'd think, should have been happy. Celebration, Lazarus been raised from the dead, you know, Jesus is the guest of honor. But people with guilty consciences aren't happy. Like, Judas can't let this go by. Sin is an amazing thing. It messes you up. You cannot enjoy what's going on where you are. I mean, you know, maybe in your own life you've done stuff before, but you kind of wonder, like, who knows? You know what I mean? Like, maybe you're hiding a little something, and then you're kind of suspicious about, like, who knows? You know? The little head on the swivel, you know. I think Judas probably has that going on. He's working on this, is working on him. And then he can't help but bring up money because he wanted a part of it. Because this is where, you know, it's like the arsonist who has to go back and check on the, do the follow up look at his job, and then he gets caught. And I find this interesting. So Judas, here we see that Judas is the one who does it. Some of the other accounts, just the disciples. Well, Judas is the instigator, but he gets everybody talking. You can see how that would work. Like, Judas, he's the one starting. But hey, why did we waste this money on this? Think of what we could have used it for in the ministry. Like that, you can see. And everybody else, oh yeah, that was dumb. That was like, what a waste. But Judas' motives aren't right at all. He wants it. And I, just a second, I love how Jesus says, let her alone. I don't think anybody else in there knew what was going on between Jesus and Judas, but Jesus knew, and Judas felt it. Because he gets ticked off. And after this, he's going to finalize the deal. This pushed him over the edge. And I just love that about Jesus too. Guys, in any setting, in any audience, Jesus, if his words are being spoken, okay, they can be very personal and nobody else even knows it. Do you know what I mean by that? That's the way his words are. He knows, and the person listening that needs it knows. Okay, what are you going to do with it? Lorenzo.
I was just thinking, like, some people that do business and stuff like Amway and whatnot, they came up to me, and a lot of what they say is, you know, you can, you know, they go to big churches and stuff, but they use their wealth to help poor and stuff. And I was just thinking, like, if you look at that mentality, it's not to build a physical means to help a lot of people like that. You know, give everything you have now for Christ.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't, it's financially, I mean, obviously you're going to be responsible, you know, you want to be responsible.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think everybody has different gifts in the body, and so whatever you want to make sure that you what you have is for the Lord. But there are some people, yeah, when I get this amount, then I'll be in position to be able to help the Lord. You don't all of a sudden one day, oh, okay, now I have enough, so I'm going to start giving. So, yeah, that's a good point, too. But when you have a lot, hey, give a lot. He gives with liberality, the Scripture says, and that's a gift. Some people do have it. You know, some people are going to be successful in business, and they should. You know, I mean, the Lord uses those people. It's just the motives, again, of everybody has to be right involved. We know the way the megachurches push that. You know, hey, yeah, go build your business, and if you give 10%, God's going to bless you. Hey, you know, it's a part of the investment cycle. And, you know, they use some scriptures. There's some seeds of truth in there. You know, Malachi, test me now in this. Will I not? You know, there's some things that the Lord says, but the way they do sell it as an investment thing. So, Leah.
I was just thinking this whole point here. You know, there's pretty good sized little verses about Judas, mm-hmm. his heart. And I thought, you know, he's one of the 12, and he spent as much time with Jesus as everybody else.
Yep.
And I guess it goes to show, you know, these are written kind of hindsight.
Yeah.
No one at the time knew.
Nobody.
Where his motives were, so except Jesus.
Yep.
And you don't hear about that until after. So that's not the focus of his ministry, but Jesus will deal with everybody's hearts. You know, I think we don't know each other's motives.
Exactly.
And even some real close cannot have the best motives. Jesus knows.
Exactly.
All apart, but they just work together, and it's all He'll take care of it.
And that's a great point. I love that. He does. He knows, and He takes care of it. There was a note that I had is that Judas' unresolved personal sin in his life is what caused him to betray Jesus. You know, so that can anybody you see it happen. How do people get there to where they turn away? People that you think, like, I mean, some people haven't surprised me, but there's sometimes I knew this person was going to be committed to this. How did that happen? I've been shocked a few times. People that turn their back on Christ, but it's every time it's unresolved sin in a person's life. So, I know we're over, but you guys, I didn't think we were going to have enough tonight. We didn't get through it. You guys were great. Thank you for thinking along with, and it's fun to, I find it fun to think, slow down, think this stuff through. You guys? All right. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We're thankful for the truth that we see there. We're thankful that Jesus does judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. And we're appreciative of the opportunity to get those right for you, Lord. Help us to have the courage to talk to people about you, about things that are important, and also have the love for you, Lord, that we're willing to sacrifice everything for you in thankfulness for what you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.